Hello guys, I'm Jonathan Waltower, and you're listening to TCK Tales. Thank you guys for tuning in to our second episode ever. Today we have a fantastic story from a really good friend of mine. Her name is Anessa Voss. She is a missionary kid from Papua New Guinea, a junior here at Moody Bible Institute, and she is studying pre-counseling. A couple terms that we're going to define. She says PNG a lot. That is shorthand for Papua New Guinea. And she talks about this thing called furlough, which is furlough is essentially just a time when missionaries and their families go back to their home country and go on a coast-to-coast nationwide tour, essentially, stopping in at their supporters. So staying with families and friends who support them and presenting at churches that support them. This kind of provides them with a personal touch so they can go to their supporters and be like, hey, we're still alive. Here's what we're doing. Keep sending us money. My parents would do it once every 2 years, 2-3 years, for about 3 months. Other people will do it either more regularly or less frequently, depending on the nature of the ministry. So without further ado, here is Anessa.
I was going to talk today about my experience on the mission field, and that particularly being a disconnection from my parents' ministry. So my parents are there supporting Bible translation through Wycliffe Bible Translators, but they're not translators themselves. They're supporting that. And so my dad works there as the head of the construction department, and my mom is a teacher. And so I lived in a very different kind of setting than a lot of people. And I lived in just kind of a closed environment, like a little bit more removed from the indigenous people of Papua New Guinea. The compound that we lived on was a small, enclosed, even fenced in for security reasons, community. And a lot of people describe it as a mini America, even though there are people from Japan or Korea, Germany, Australia, even though it is, I guess, multicultural, it resembles just like a small town in America. We have a post office, we have a store, we have a meeting house where we worship, and a school. But it's small in that it makes up, it's mostly missionary families and then a few of the Papua New Guineans who work on the center. We didn't leave our compound very often. It was hard to, especially during the school year when we're in school. And my parents, because that's where they worked, we got even less of an opportunity to leave than most people. And so it was only for vacations, maybe once or twice a year, and vacations were expensive. That we would actually like travel farther outside than just an hour or so. And so a lot of my life, I felt like that was my life. And so I didn't understand the ministry aspect of it. Even though my parents talked about it, even though they said stuff when we were raising support or when we were on furlough, they would talk about the work that they were doing. They would show videos, they would tell us about it. But that was my life from such a young age. It didn't really connect with me, the impact that we were having or the work that my parents were doing. And I felt like I didn't really connect with the Papua New Guineans who lived there. It was mostly missionary families on our base. And so I connected with fellow MKs and I connected with missionary families, but I just didn't really have a heart for the Papua New Guineans or the work that my parents were doing there. Part of the reason why I didn't fully understand what they were doing was I was younger too. And so I, you know, it takes a while for you to understand what's really going on, whether you're on the mission field or not. But I think hearing them when they talked about just their work, I think that I saw it more as the fun, exciting aspect of ministry. So they told stories about us that were humorous, you know, get the crowd laughing. And then they would talk about what they did. And I was like, yeah, that's what my parents do. That's obviously what they do. I think because I had never really seen what a normal, like, American family or just a different family did for work, it was hard for me to internalize the importance of what they were doing, I guess. And so it was a conscious thing. Like, I was aware and my parents told me, but it wasn't like a heart connection of, wow, this is what they're doing and I get to be a part of it. I think that all changed when I was a senior in high school. And the saddest thing was that it took me that long to recognize that. but at least the Lord showed me that when I was a senior. It all happened when a friend of mine from the States who I had met in one of my transitions back on furlough, her and her dad decided they wanted to come visit us in Papua New Guinea, and they wanted to raise support for a missions project in Papua New Guinea. And so they raised a bunch of support from their church to buy Audi Bibles for a language group in West New Britain. They were the Bari people. That got us talking about me joining them in that and going out into a village and distributing Audi Bibles. So I began to get really excited all of a sudden about this new opportunity and started questioning my own thoughts about, like, what is ministry and what am I doing here? Like, I've lived in Papua New Guinea my entire life, but, like, I don't really understand what I've been doing here this whole life other than just being, you know, dragged around by my parents. I think that was a really, really critical time in my life to start questioning that. So what happened with this trip was I joined my friends for 1 week. We went to this village and it was very remote. We had to get there by helicopter. We brought with us just 200 Audi Bibles that we were going to sell at a very discounted price to the Bari people. And when we got there, I was just hit by just the culture difference. Even though I was in a different culture, there was already even a different culture between villages. And so it was a very rugged kind of lifestyle that they lived there, and so different from what I grew up in. And I just remember walking into the house we were going to be staying at for the week, and it was dirty, and there's no refrigerator, no running water. And I was like, wow, is this ministry? Is this really what ministry is about? And I couldn't believe that I had never experienced something like that before. And that whole week, I felt the most challenged. I was kind of pushed out of my comfort zone a lot. I struggled with the language barrier a bit. And I also saw in my friend, who had never been in a third world country before, struggle even more. And we went face to face with the Papua New Guineans who were not believers, and we were telling them the gospel and we were giving them these Audi Bibles, and I saw what an impact it had in their lives, like physically handing them a Bible that they could press play and listen to while they were cooking or while they were doing their chores, their household chores, or walking along the road. That just blew me away. Like, this is a tangible impact that ministry has. I'm just sad to think that I didn't realize that sooner, because it was mind-blowing and it gave me a passion then for ministry in the future. And I think it would have saved me from a lot of just anger towards my parents or frustrations that happened in transitions or while we were on the field. And it would have given me a sense of purpose too.
What I love about Anessa's story is she tells about having this, I call it high school student in Haiti moment. The reason I call it high school student in Haiti is my church back in Ohio takes short-term trips to Haiti every year with their high school students. And this is kind of a time when all of the American monocultural high school students are able to just like see the world for the first time and realize that the world is bigger than just their small town in Ohio or even America, but there are people and they are hurting and they are different and they think different and they do things different and they speak a different language and they need your tangible love. They need you to help them in some way, but they're also beautiful and they are also amazing and God still loves them and they are proud. And it's just this amazing time where you go there and you see these students just get their eyes open to a world beyond theirs. And this is essentially what Anessa does in her home/host country. She has this moment where she was like, this is why my parents are here. This is what my parents are doing. And I think that's very important for us as MKs, is to really understand what your parents are doing. I know I didn't get a lot of closure with myself until I fully got a chance to sit down and talk with my parents about what they did. And a lot of issues and a lot of things that I felt kind of got resolved once I realized, like, oh no, this is what my parents were doing. This is why they left. My parents' main role was training new staff for
the mission field.
And so they would train local staff. Part of the reason we left is because they essentially trained someone to take their place. And that was eventually their goal. They were continuing to train more and more local staff that were then replacing foreign staff. I like to say, as a missionary, your job is to work yourself out of a job. That's what I love about Anessa's story, is just you get to see that light bulb moment where it kind of clicked in her. She says to herself, it did take her such a long time to do that due to the isolation and the way in which her parents' ministry kind of isolated her from the surrounding country and the surrounding culture. However, better late than never, and it had profound impacts on where she is and who she is as a person. After this, we're going to dive into some really deep topics of belonging and grieving and things like that. So continue to tune in as we continue to talk about transition and move into our main theme of this season, which is transition and change. So stay tuned. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Overcast, or however it is you're listening to it. But specifically on Apple Podcasts, please subscribe to us and write a review, because that'll help other people find the show as well if you find it therapeutic. And tell people about it. Thank you, guys. And I look forward to more TCK Tales.